Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. Caleb is going to read our our main verse, Matthew 20, 26 and 27. And let's see. And then when we get that, we're actually just going to read that twice. Jake is going to read it again the second time. This past Friday, I had the funeral for my Uncle George. He's my dad's oldest brother, and he was 2 weeks short of 99, almost made 99. But, of course, he's most important thing. You don't know Uncle George, but many of you, you owe your salvation to this man because he witnessed to my parents, brought him to church at a crucial moment. So I was interested in what they had to say about him. And his family said that George hated to speak. He would never be involved in anything where he had to talk, but they said about him, but he was always ready to serve. And they told him various ways of helping to remodel or helping people who were down and out or whatever it was. They said he was always ready to serve. So the scripture we're going to look at says that the path of greatness is service. And this is a very important issue in discipleship. So I want to talk about service. Matthew 20, 26 and 27.
Yet it shall not be so among you. For whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave.
Okay, let's look at the mistaken approach. So if you know that the context, I didn't take the time to read the whole thing, is that James and John are coming to Jesus, and they had an idea to be useful, to be powerful, is a matter of attention. What they want is, we want the prominent seats. We want to sit on the right and on the left. This is an ancient idea that you had whoever was the important, whether that was the king or the rabbi or whoever it was, whenever they'd have a meal, whenever they would have any kind of public seating, they would perhaps on a raised stand or something of some kind, always you'd have the important people would be up there with you. So these guys say, we want to be great in life. So Jesus, if we could get attention, if we could get the good seats, and everybody could come in and see us and go, man, who are those guys? That's James and John, man. They must be important. Then we're going to enter our destiny. And so this fits in the modern age, this fits in with the idea of people that somehow I can suddenly be discovered. You know, the whole idea of all the American Idol and different ones is in an instant, someone's going to see me or I can put one video on YouTube and suddenly it'll go viral and I'll become a star. So this scripture says that's an ancient, long before cell phones and YouTube, this was already at work in the human heart. And so the problem is we can bring this into the kingdom of God and think the way to be useful or used by God, the way to enter my destiny is attention. So if I can get the microphone or if I can be given a title in the church, then, you know, that somehow my name will be announced at conference. You know, when I was first pioneering, I was explaining to people who had never, I pioneered on an island. We were very isolated. And so they had never seen a conference. So we're describing what goes on. And they were like, do the people who get announced, do they know they're going out? You know, so you're sitting there, you know, Craig and Lisa, I had no idea. You know, this is just, suddenly you are chosen. And so This is human nature. Attention will make me great. Years ago, one of our churches had a friend that had a lady. She had gotten saved, been saved for some months, and then she finally said, "You know, I want to help. I want to help out in the church and get involved." Which, I mean, that's a great desire. But then she said, "But nothing out the back." Which out the back was nursery or working in the kitchen. She says, "I want on stage somewhere." That's what she wanted. That was being useful. And so this is what sometimes people bring into. If we bring that into discipleship, I want to be used by God, and your approach is attention will make me great. That's going to cause you problems. Think about what it produces. It's very unhealthy. Number one, that produces pride. You become filled with pride if your approach is attention-based. Because, of course, the more that people see you, the more that you get attention. That just feeds our egos. And then by never having to humble ourselves, if all you do are the things that people can see, then you're never having to deal with and penetrate your pride. This causes conflict. People who approach it on attention. If you read and compare this scripture with others, with the disciples, this caused conflict with them. They're upset at the guys who are attention-based. You get other people don't want to work with them. We got to work together. I'm not working with him. And then, of course, you get discipleship for men sometimes becomes a competition. The idea is if I can be seen at any cost, whatever it takes, I will be seen. I'll make sure the other guy is not seen. So the attention or the result is conflict. It hurts the work of God. If you're attention-based rather than service-based, there are things that just simply don't get done. There are people that don't get helped. And you could actually, this produces damage in some churches that if it's let go. Ultimately, what this does is it hurts your future. It's interesting, Jesus is talking about the future. You want to become great. That's the future. So you think it's attention-based. This is going to hurt your future. You're going to discover one day, if you want, some of you are here, you haven't worked it out yet, whether you are called to the ministry, but obviously you're wanting to be used by God. You're going to discover one day that the work of God, you need lots of people to help you. You need lots of help to do any work for God. And the Bible principle is you reap what you sow. So think about this. If you're a guy who, it's all about attention, I don't really want to serve because you're lazy. I don't want to serve because no one's noticing. I'm not getting credit for that. You're not helping. You're fighting with your brothers. You get people who won't work with you. So think about that. Let's say you wind up in ministry one day. So now here you are. Okay, you somehow snuck through the system, got sent out. The Bible says you reap what you sow. One of the things that is puzzling to me as I get pastors who ask me, they say in church, I can't get anybody to help me. Well, that's completely foreign to me. I've never had problems getting people to help. So, but if I had to surmise what reading between the lines and being an experienced pastor, probably that's somebody who's reaping what they sowed. That's the bottom line. That's a mistaken approach. Let's talk about the path to usefulness. This scripture says the path of usefulness always begins with servanthood. Jesus says you want to be great, you want to be useful. Service is what brings that to pass. Matthew 20, 26 and 27.
Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be among you, let him be your slave.
Okay, so Jesus says, because their approach was, Jesus, we want to be important. That's what they're saying. We want the chief seats. We want to sit on the raised seat where everybody sits. We want everybody to know who we are. And he says, this is how it works. Service. That's how you get there. Service is the Bible path to of great men that you read about in the Bible. We read about Moses' servant Joshua. That's how he's identified, that he served. Joshua served Moses. Elisha ministered, it says, to Elijah. There was somebody, they said about Elisha, he's the one who pours water on Elijah's hand. This is a power. You want to be powerful? In those days, they didn't have taps, right? They didn't have faucets. So they needed somebody to pour water. Yes, and what is your powerful task in the kingdom? Yeah, I'm the chief hand washer. That was really powerful, wasn't it? You impress people at fellowships. Like, ooh, he's the hand washer. You know, that's how he's identified, is he served Elijah. David served Saul by playing playing music for Saul when he was tormented, and then of course later on in the military. Timothy, Paul says he has served with me in the gospel. Acts chapter 6, they choose out 7 men. Here it is. This is powerful. There are old ladies, there are widows who are struggling to eat. We're going to collect food. We need somebody to serve them. You're going to be a holy waiter. Give them food. That's powerful, isn't it? And so, and yet we see Stephen becomes a powerful man of God out of that. Then we have a Bible word, and that word is deacon. And it actually becomes an office. It speaks about 2 offices with qualifications of ministry. One is bishop, which is pastor, and then a deacon, and we would say this is a disciple or someone who helps, but literally it is one who serves or waits. It is an attendant, and so this is the Bible emphasis. So, think about the essence of service. So, sir, what does that mean in a practical sense? Service, number one, the essence of service, number one, is based on tasks or jobs that need doing. In a church, especially a church our size, there are 1,000 things that need to be done inside the church, outside the church. So that is a constant, ongoing. Just to have one service today, by the time we finish the morning service, there will be hundreds of details that have been taken care of. People have labored and done. They've played a part in every single way. There are 1,000 things that just need to be done to get the job done, to be able to have a church. So that means in the tasks, that means responding when you're asked to help. As many as, hey, I need you to do that. That's what a disciple does. Yes, I can serve. I can do that. That means responding when a need is announced. Sometimes it's not personal. Sometimes we make an announcement, and I know no one listens to announcements, basically wasting my time. But when we announce from the pulpit, a disciple who says, I want my life to count, I want to be useful, he's listening. There's a need. We need to load a van. We need help in the parking lot. We need something. Yes, because that's what I want to do. I want to serve. The real issue, though, in discipleship, I often say to guys, disciples in training, every concert director, I emphasize to them, so you start with, do what I say. Do it how I say. Do it when I say. That'd be very helpful. But that's actually baby stuff, right? I can teach a monkey to do that. So, but I need more than monkeys. What I need is people who see a need. That's when you actually develop, is you see what needs doing. How can I help? And that is that's important. So, tasks that need doing. Number 2, it involves hidden service. So this is the whole point. We want to sit up. We want to be important. Let everybody see us. Who are those guys? Service is hidden. We don't every service announce a list of people who have done things just so we can get the service done. read their name and clap. It's hidden. There were no crowds to see and cheer. Jesus gave this lesson on service privately in the upper room when he washes their feet. There was only 12 of them to begin, and one of them leaves. So there's 11 guys there. This is no big crowd. It was not with a microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, today washing feet, Jesus Christ. Thank you. It just needed. Their feet were dirty. It was as simple as that. You walked in open sandals on dusty roads. Your feet got dirty. And the way they sat, your feet would be in somebody's nose. So let's just wash the feet. That's all there was to it. It wasn't powerful. It's hidden. And that's what it is. There's a lot of things for that. This is essential. This is why Jesus is saying you can't become great unless you serve. It's an essential. Why? Because it's a test. It's a test of your character. I want to be used by God. Well, we got to find out what kind of man you are. Why do you do what you do? Do you do it for attention? In the church, from time to time, I get people, I hear that they're mad, they're angry, they won't look at me, talk to me. What's up? I helped out and you never thanked me. I've had people be mad at me that I didn't thank them for things I didn't even know they did, but that's another sermon. And so the real issue is that why you're doing it? Are you doing it for a pat on the back? Are you doing it for attention? Are you doing it because your name is announced? Or are you doing it because it's right? Hidden service helps deal with our pride. I was a young disciple. I had, you know, I played drums in the song service. I was a Bible study leader. I was, playing in the main band. We got a lot of attention that way. It was hidden service. It was very healthy for my pride to do hidden and unpleasant tasks. We met in an old YMCA building, very, very old building with the plumbing was not happening. And so what would happen is somebody would come and deposit a bowl of Gator in the toilet. It would plug it up. It just wouldn't work. And so it'd be the service. You got to imagine, there was no air conditioning in this building. The toilet stopped up. There's hundreds of people. We were overpacked in the building anyway. The only way that's going to work is somebody needed to go get a garbage bag, put it over their hand, reach down there, and remove the bowl of Gator. So that was not something, ladies and gentlemen. That was very exciting. That was very good for a young man who was battling with pride. That was actually very good. Lady, I am so hot. I'm such hot stuff. Poo removal? That's me. So, and I'll just throw in and back to my lesson. So, nobody asked me to do that. They didn't make it. Is there anybody here who'd be willing to remove the bowl of Gator? I think, yes. Just like, oh man, the thing's plugged up. That's very healthy for our pride. You know, one of the things in church, as I say, developing an eye for service, it drives me crazy. When I come to church, you have no idea. I get up at 5 a.m. By the time I come to church, I have answered emails, taken crisis calls, planned out things. Then I'm getting ready things for the service today. Plotting out people that I'm counseling, people that there's a crisis. I have a jillion. I'm watching out in church for perverts and chomos and troubled people, and all these kinds. And then when I come to church and I have to notice, it's like, you know, really the toilet paper is. So I got to take time out to go find somebody to the paper towel thing doesn't work. I hate these paper towel dispensers. They always jam up in there. And so, on the one sense, I'm with all my other 1,000 things, I got to go find a way to fix that. Is there not somebody else in church who can notice that Either go find Johnny or fix it themselves. You know, I just throw that in. That's just for free. The second thing is, this is how you grow. So the disciples come. They think, we want to be great today. Pick us. Come sit up here. Jesus says, no, no, no. You need to grow into your future. You become great if you learn to serve in one area. So here's a life lesson. I'm a disciple, and I had to deal with crap. That's actually a very good analogy for ministry. I deal with lots of crap in my job. In my calling, it's just bigger bowl of Gators. And some of them are now human bowl of Gators. So here's the point. You learn to serve in one area. If you can do that, you can serve in larger areas, in other areas. When you meet a need in one area, that's actually what ministry is all about. If you can find a small task and say, I could help there, it could be that you can find a larger task and meet a crucial need. I'm so struck by, at the funeral, they're talking about my Uncle George, who was a humble, quiet man, never led a Bible study, never preached, and yet they just talked about small little ways that he served. One of those was when my parents' first child died at 10 months, they number one witnessed, brought them to church so they got saved, but then they'd have them over for lunch every week after that until they got enough revelation. My dad got filled with the Holy Ghost, and that sealed the deal in him. So they met a need that was crucial. It was bigger than unplugging toilets, right? It was that's what ministry is all about. But you're probably not going to have those kind of powerful, life-changing encounters unless you're willing to serve in small areas, because that's ministry. Let's look finally at the larger life. Jesus says here, there is a possibility of larger usefulness and impact. Isn't this what life is about? He uses two words here. The first word is you can become great. You understand this, we translate English from the Greek. We get our word, anything you see that is mega. That's what he's saying. You want to become mega. You want to become larger. Isn't that what you want? You don't want your life to be tiny. He lived, you know, he breathed, he died, he's gone. That's the way it is. You want your life to become larger. Jesus says this is how your life becomes large. Second word is chief, first. Literally, it would be important. So you want your life to become large. You want your life to be important in some way. You want somebody to care. You want say, my life is different because of that guy. The impact. My Uncle George, it's like, if my Uncle George didn't witness and follow up on my dad, I would not be married to my wife. I would not have my son-in-law, grandchildren. I wouldn't have the ministry I don't know that I'd be saved. You just think about that. His life has importance. And these people have no clue. I'm trying to tell my cousins, your dad right now in heaven is shocked by how many people are going to come. George! So this is how you get there. Service allows a larger work to be accomplished. That's the whole idea. If you grasp the thousands of things that need to be done in a church, it's bigger than parking, paper towels, you know, music, ushering. It's much bigger than that. We are doing something that changes people's lives. And everybody just plays a part. And then it opens the doors, of course, for larger tasks. One time I tried to tell George, you know, we were at a funeral. This is probably 20, 30 years ago. And back at that time, I said, Uncle George, do you understand that there are thousands of people all over the world that they're going to make heaven because of you. And he doesn't understand that. I travel. I see people. They wouldn't even exist. They wouldn't be saved if it wasn't that he did something simple at that time. And he just simply said, well, we all play our part. And that's what the kingdom of God is. You play your part. You become larger. You may become important. But the real issue is that the kingdom of God allows that to be done. So I give an appeal before we open for questions. So this would be true at the best of times. You've seen, now we're digging up the parking lot. During the building project, all of the needs are going to be ramped up on steroids. Okay? Building while having church in the same location is a pain in the butt. It's going to be a pain in the butt. And the tasks are going to multiply. It's going to get messy. People are going to be tracking in dirt. It is a pain in the butt just for, parking and finding all the needs. And while we're doing this, you got to remember, is we're going to have visitors who come who they simply need to find how to get in here. Right? There's small little things that I need people, I need disciples to have eyes for. Visitors, we still need to minister to them to get the job done so that we can build a building. So then it will become easier. Life will be great. We'll all have cushy chairs. That'll be awesome. Unless you whine, then you get the plastic chairs. But, so this becomes even more important. So I'm just using this as an appeal for the building. It'll become a blessing, but God needs men who will serve. Okay, let's open for questions. Something you want to ask out of that, something that triggers in your mind. Okay, while we were here, I had some people deposit some Bola Gators so you can practice. No, I'm kidding. Oh, dear.
I've noticed in certain things, every once in a while there'll be someone who will actively fight against this kind of stuff.
In what way?
They'll make sure that they let you know, don't do that, nobody's watching you do that kind of thing, or you can't do that, you're supposed to do it this way, so don't do it at all. When you're trying to go out of your way to help, and there's been a couple of times where I've been told that I'm helping wrong, so I should stop.
Well, that depends on who it's coming from, right? So if somebody is genuinely in charge and you're doing it wrong, so it's making their task difficult, that'd be valid. If you just have somebody who that's an opinion, you know, check with the one who would know, I would say.
The person who's actually in charge.
Yeah. And that's why in most things in life, you have to have somebody in charge, because that's what happens. So if you don't, then everybody fights and says, I know how it should be done, and it just becomes a squabble. Life functions by hierarchy. That's a quote that Pastor Mitchell has said. That means who's in charge. It's just the way it is. Can't get done things done without people being in charge.
Does this principle keep getting applied as you, like, say you become a pastor, you become, you know, as you move up in the ministry, you continually face having to be a servant?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my task in leadership is it increases. I get everybody else's problems that they can't solve, they bring to me. Right? And so it's difficult. I get more work. That it's not like I get extra pay for it. So it's just different, you know. Yep. You will never get away from service. You may serve in different ways, but you'll never get away from service. Definitely not.
As far as being in the ministry, you'll never get away.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah, life is all about service.
Now that door director.
Yep.
I see. Before I didn't see, you know, what goes on, but now I have the opportunity to see.
Yep.
And it makes me appreciate people a lot more.
Yeah.
And appreciate how things work. Before I would just come and, you know, and just be happy. Be happy on just what I'm doing. You know.
That's right.
But then, you know, I guess God grows you. He does. He does grow you. I don't know.
Yep. So you gotta learn how to be useful. That's right.
It's cool.
And that's the task. Like,
different.
Yeah, remember the story I think Pastor told in a sermon, in, I don't remember how many weeks ago, but one of the when we had a satellite church going in Baghdad, and there was a bunch of guys, they were all helping. There was a guy that he would help. I think we met in a restaurant, if I remember right, and they had to move the stuff out of the way to have church, and there was a guy he was helping until he was put in charge. Then the moment he was put in charge, he wouldn't lift a finger. And would order people around. And so he quickly killed that. He's not in the ministry today, no longer even in our church, because it just doesn't work that way. Not healthy. Somebody else. Yep, John.
It seems to be the pendulum where everything's swinging in the service. The way that these guys have risen, we've seen a lot of leaders fall, and they've fallen because of their own success. And it's because they quit being a servant, they didn't get to serve.
Yeah.
So it seems to be that where not only our success, but even our salvation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crucial maintaining that.
When John said, I must decrease, and he must increase, when he was speaking of Christ and his position, was he there speaking of himself in a way that this is something I must take, a position of a greater servant, or is that?
Well, yeah, it was a... He was combating the wrong idea, right? So they came to John because they had this idea. It's about attention. So they said, hey, this guy Jesus, who they didn't get it. They didn't get who Jesus was. They thought he was just another guy. Didn't get that he's God in the flesh. So they're like, there's this guy and there's more people attending his services than attending yours. He's getting more attention than you. So that's the wrong mentality. It's all about attention. So John understood who Jesus was. So he said, no, he must increase. It's not about attention. So yeah, in the one sense, it's serving. I play my part. Playing my part is not about, do I get more attention than the other guys? So that's why service is a test, isn't it? So it's one thing to do something if they say, that's tremendous. Now you get to be famous, or you get a pat on the back. But what if no one notices? Right? So it's a test. So John passed that test. It's not about my ego. And that's what you see in ministry. It works out in everything. It drives me crazy with missionaries. We get one missionary who is there. He's desperate. Send more people. Send more people. We send more people. And the moment we get somebody else there, then they start to fight over who's in charge. Right? And I got to tell people before I say, I'm not sending you to be in charge of anything. Because it's they think it's attention. Play your part. Let God sort it out. That's the key. Somebody else. Thinking about it. All right. I'll leave you with that.